This morning I want to call your attention to the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. A letter that our beloved apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus while he was in prison. It's called a prison epistle. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the apostle would say, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now the apostle is addressing the church at Ephesus. And the church at Ephesus was made up of people who had been quickened or born again by the Holy Spirit. At one time they were dead in sin, just like all of us were. But now they have been quickened. And that word quickened means to make alive. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now who did the quickening? God did the quickening. "And you hath he quickened." Not the preacher, not the missionary, not mom and dad. But God is the one that quickens those or make those alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins. You may think, "Well, Brother Sam, I thought when I heard the gospel and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, that's when I was quickened or born again." No, beloved. See, the text says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead." They were dead. Now they were not dead physically, but they were dead in trespasses and in sins. And everybody in the world today with a rational mind, even in nature, understands that if somebody is dead in nature, you and I can't do anything for them, except maybe give them a Christian burial. But you can't do anything for the dead. Only God can do that. If we had a body up here this morning and somebody came up and tried to offer it food or water, y'all would think that person's not right in their mind. Are y'all with me? So you dead people are not hungry. They're not thirsty. That is in nature. Well, it's the same way in the spiritual realm. If somebody is dead in trespasses and sins, they're not hungry for the Bible. They're not hungry for Christian hymns. They're not hungry for fellowship with God. They're dead to God, dead to the Bible, dead to the spiritual world. But God, in His sovereign power, can quicken those that were dead in trespasses and in sins. And that's what He did for the church at Ephesus. That's what He did for probably everybody in the house here today. At some point in your life, you were quickened by God's sovereign power. It might have been while you were a baby in your mother's arms. How many of y'all believe God can quicken a baby spiritually and give them spiritual life? Even when they can't understand the language, God can speak to them and communicate with them. We know that happened with John the Baptist. He was made alive spiritually before he was ever born of his mother. God may have quickened you when you were a little toddler. God may have dealt with you when you were a teenager. God may have dealt with you when you were middle-aged. That's God's business. You and I cannot determine when somebody will be born again. God alone determines that. But you can just rest assured it's in good hands. Amen? "And you hath he quickened." The "you" is referring to us. The "he" is referring to God. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." You see, bringing a child to church is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing to bring your children to church. Amen. Expose them to a Christian environment and to worship. But beloved, environment cannot change their nature. It just can't. Only God can do that. I believe God spoke to me as a child when I was probably 13 or 14 years of age. God did that. My mom and dad couldn't do it, but God did. And did you know Saul of Tarsus, who is writing this letter, the great apostle to the Gentiles, was once dead in sin? He was dead in sin, and he was a wicked man, and he was going about to destroy the Christian church. He was arresting Christians wherever he could find them and put them in jail and have them stand trial, and many of them were being executed. He even helped in the execution of a wonderful man named Stephen, who was a deacon in the Jerusalem church. Stephen was a wonderful, humble man of God. And Saul of Tarsus wanted him dead for believing in Jesus. And he held the garments. They put him in a stone pit. And those who stoned him to death pulled off their outer garments so they could throw better. And Saul held their garments while they stoned this man to death. Are y'all with me? That's an evil thing. This man was dead in sin. And on his way to Damascus, where he had gotten letters of authority from the high priest to go down to Damascus and arrest Christians down there and bring them back to Jerusalem. Do y'all remember what happened to this man? While on his way to Damascus, Jesus Christ met him on the Damascus road, and he fell to the ground. And I believe with all my heart, right then and there, this man was quickened or made alive in Jesus Christ, born of the Holy Spirit. No preacher could do that. His mom and dad couldn't. Nobody else could. But God could, and God did. And he cried out when he fell, you know. He said, "Lord, who art thou?" You see, Jesus didn't send Ananias, the preacher from Damascus, out there to meet him on the Damascus road and change him. No man could change him. But I'm here to tell you, God can, and God did. And he was quickened. And at some point in your life, God dealt with you by his grace and gave you spiritual life. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, a man that's dead in sin does not have an ear to hear the gospel. He doesn't have a mind to receive it and love it and understand it. He doesn't have eyes to see it. You know, I would far rather try to preach to a 5-year-old child that has been born again than to preach to a PhD who has never been touched by the hand of God. Are y'all with me? See, a PhD could be sitting on the front row of the church and they're listening, and intellectually they understand what the preacher's saying, but they're just not getting it. They don't have a receiving set. It doesn't appeal to them at all. But a little child, 4 or 5 years of age, can be blessed to hear and receive and understand. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not, but the challenge that preachers face. You know, in school, let's say you're a third grade school teacher, and you've got 20 children in your class, 20 students, and it's your job to teach them math and science and reading and such as that. And they're all about the same age. But it's still a challenge for that third grade school teacher, because not all those children have the same intellectual ability. One may have a bright IQ. One may be very slow, like I was in school. I tell you, my teachers had a challenge. I mean, a big challenge. Miss Clara Porter held me back in the second grade. And, you know, I was blessed because she did. I was a slow learner. Now, there were kids in our class that were bright, like Douglas. You know, they just got it. But the teacher is trying to get all of us to get it. And some kids go home and their moms and dads are there to help them with their homework. Other kids go to a home where the parents are not helping them at all. It's a challenge for a third grade teacher to teach 20 kids. Are y'all with me? But in a congregation like this, or maybe we have 100 people here this morning, we've got little children. I want to reach the children. I want to put the cookie down where the children can get a cookie. I don't, you know, we're preaching to sheep and lambs, not giraffes. Are y'all with me today? And we've got children here. We've got teenagers. We've got middle age. We've got senior citizens. I like that term, senior citizen. That sounds a lot better than old. But here I am up here this morning trying to teach all of you. And you understand the challenge. But here's the advantage a preacher has who is anointed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can take His message, His crumbs, and bless them to where everybody in the house can be fed. Amen. You know, that's amazing to me. People sitting right next to you in the house today may have a special need, different from yours, and God can take the same message and bless it to feed you and to feed somebody sitting next to you. See, God has to be in our midst to own and to bless. That's why preachers ask you to pray that God would grant them liberty and grant the congregation a hearing ear and an understanding mind. But I want to tell you, all the preaching in the world is not going to quicken somebody dead in sin. It takes the voice of the Son of God to do that. And God does it in a sovereign and mighty way. And we praise Him and thank Him for that this morning. And you hath He quickened. And let me say this morning, beloved, I hope you've thought about this and understand this, but if you haven't, you'll rejoice in it. Did you know that a little child in Africa or India or China or Russia, where the Bible has been banned and there are no churches and there are no preachers, is God shut out? Is God helpless in that case? No. If one of His elect children is in that situation, the Holy Spirit can reach them and quicken them into divine life. Praise God for that. His hands are not tied. When Russia became a communist country in 1917, and they banned Christianity, and they banned the Bible, and they tried to kill all the preachers and tear down all the church buildings or turn them into hay barns or museums. The Word of God was not allowed in Russia. But let me tell you, they couldn't keep the Holy Spirit out. Jesus says the wind blows where men will let it. Y'all know better than that. You know the wind goes where it pleases, doesn't it? Whether it's a hurricane, a tornado, or a cool summer night's breeze, the wind goes where it pleases. The government has no power over the wind. And Jesus said it's the same way with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God goes wherever it pleases. Finds all of the elect in every nation, every family on the face of this earth, and quickens them, gives them spiritual life. That's amazing, isn't it? That's a wonderful thing. That our God is able to reach all of His elect. And many of them will never see a Bible, but heaven will be their home. Because God loved them. Jesus died for them, paid their sin debt in full. And the Holy Spirit has quickened them and given them spiritual life. And so we rejoice in the sovereignty of God, in the salvation of His people. And you hath He quickened. who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. That was true with Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road. He was walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Beloved, sadly, we live in a world where there is an evil spirit. And Paul describes it here as the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Where does all the evil come from in our world? And there is a lot of evil. Wars. They come from the flesh of men who do not fear God and love God. Wars are the result of man being dead in sin. Every murder is a result of the flesh. Every rape, whatever the sin is, it comes from the flesh. Not from God, but from man. Listen, we worship a good God. The Bible says God is good. How many of y'all believe He's good today? And when you see all the evil that is in this world, don't try to blame God with it. It comes from men, people dead in sin, who do not love God and fear God. And it comes often from the flesh of those who have been born of the Holy Spirit. So here is Saul of Tarsus on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians, men, women, and children, and bring them back to Jerusalem. And he was the Osama bin Laden of his day. How many of y'all believe God could change Osama bin Laden? Now, apparently he didn't. But I believe that a God who could change the most wicked man on the face of this earth if he chose to do so. After all, he worked in me and he worked in you. And you and I were dead in sin. But God, by his grace, chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world and has quickened us. And so, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Here's dead men walking. Y'all see that? You're dead in sin, but you're walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see, beloved, God's children, before they're dealt with by grace, are under the influence of Satan and the prince of the power of this air, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, what? What were we by nature? The children of wrath, even as others. Now you think about that. The children of wrath. Whose wrath? God's wrath. And I believe that would point us to an eternal hell. And we were by nature on our way to a devil's hell. But God, listen now to the text. Let's read in verse 4. But God. I love that. But God. Are y'all with me? But God. Sometimes when human beings are using that little expression, but, they will tell you about somebody and they say, well, he's a nice guy. He's okay, but. And then they tell you what they want you to know about it, right? They say the worst to last. Well, in the Bible, oftentimes God tells us the worst and then he says, but, and then he tells us the good part. Are y'all staying with me this morning? Now, let's look at the text. But God, listen. But God, here's the best news you'll ever hear in this world. See, in church, we are broadcasting good news. You don't hear a lot of good news on CNN or Fox or none of those other networks. I mean, a lot of that's not. In other words, the news media doesn't even consider it news if it's not bad. They're going to cover house fires, auto accidents. They're going to cover murders and rapes and rioting and all of that. But let somebody do something really good, and they may tack on something like that at the very end of the program. Let me tell you, in God's house, we're trying to broadcast good news. From WORD. Station WORD from the Word. We've got good news today. You know what it is? But God, who is rich in mercy. I love that, don't y'all? He's rich in mercy. You know what that word rich means? It means inexhaustible riches. A man in earth may be rich, but he can go bankrupt, make a few bad decisions in business. First news, you know, he's bankrupt. But our God will never be bankrupt in mercy. He's rich in mercy. It seemed like that'd make y'all happy to hear that. A few smiles here and there would help the pastor. Are y'all getting the message this morning? I'm telling you all about a sovereign, eternal being who created the heaven and the earth. He has all knowledge. He knows where every grain of sand is on the beaches. He knows where every star is in the universe. He knows where every atom is in your body. He is all-knowing and all-powerful and eternal and self-existent. And yet, He is rich in mercy. What if God wasn't rich in mercy? Where would we be today? How many of y'all ever asked God for mercy? Come on now, let's wake up. I live on it. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love. You think God is merciful to America? I know He is. In the early 1960s, prayer was banned in our schools. Can you believe that? And then Bible reading was banned in our schools. Can you believe that God would have mercy on a nation that had been so blessed, so favored from our revolutionary days till now, would actually ban the reading of Scripture in our public schools and ban prayer? And yet God is still merciful to America. It's amazing, isn't it? He's a merciful God. We have legalized same-sex marriages. We have legalized the murder of little babies still in their mother's wombs. And yet God is still merciful. I don't know. It's amazing to me. But God, who is rich in mercy. Now let's read the rest of this text. But God, who is rich in mercy. For now, that doesn't mean that God is just going to keep on putting up with wickedness. That doesn't mean that. You know, God does love us and He can chastise us. Have y'all ever been chastised by your heavenly Father? I know my mother chastised us a lot. We always said there was a bush out back that never needed pruning because she got so many switches from it. And Mama would say, I'm doing this because I love you. Well, I could have explained. She said, it's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I could have said, Mama, I know a way neither one of us will be hurt. Just don't whip me. But you know, she chastised me because she loved me. How many of y'all have ever chastised your child because you love them? You don't chastise them just because you hate them. No, you love them and you want them to be behave themselves. Well, I want to tell you, God chastises us. He does. Yes, He's merciful, but in His mercy, sometimes He chastens us. Paul would say to the Hebrews, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth. So I don't want you to think that since God's rich in mercy, you can just get by with your sins. No. Now we want to continue in our text today. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, You know, the love of God is the deepest subject in all the Bible, and we'll never comprehend it until we get to heaven and understand that He could love us enough to give His only darling Son to die for our sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. When did God start loving us? When we started behaving and living like little angels dipped in sugar? No, He loved us when we were dead in sin. Our love sometimes is conditional, not God's love. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, representatively, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I believe here Paul is talking about the resurrected Christ who went back to heaven, to the Father's house. And representatively, everyone He died for went back with Him to glory. So this morning, representatively, you're already in heaven. I know we're on earth bodily, but because of Jesus being in heaven and us in Him, we're already in heaven, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, you're just a pilgrim on this earth and a stranger passing through. This world is not our home. We're just down here for a little while. We're on our way to our home in glory. How many of y'all believe that? And already you're there representatively. Jesus is there. And if He's there as the first fruits, the rest of the crop is going to be taken to glory. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, listen to that, in the ages to come, not the years to come, in the ages to come. I'm 74 years old bodily. I hope I have a few more years to live in this body on this earth and hopefully be a blessing to somebody. But Paul is here not talking about years. He's talking about ages. Endless ages. You see, when we get to glory, we're not going to just be up there for 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or 100 years. We're going to be up there forever. Eternal in eternal bodies, glorified, where we won't get old, we won't get wrinkled, our hair won't be gray. I tell you, we've got a wonderful destiny waiting for us in heaven. And God's Word tells us about it. And Paul says here that in the ages to come, we might show the exceeding riches of His grace. Listen to that now. He didn't just say riches of His grace. He said exceeding, exceeding. You know, those words are in the Bible for a reason. God's grace is exceeding. Exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. How many of y'all feel like God has been kind to you? How many of y'all really know God has been kind to you? You haven't got what you deserve? No. The other day I was at Walmart and I heard one of the tellers say to a customer who was leaving, she said, "Have the day you deserve." And I thought, oh my goodness. How many of y'all would like to have the day you deserve? Come on now, let's wake up and face reality. If we got what we deserve, you think we'd be blessed like we are today? It's according to His riches and His grace and His mercy. So He would say that in the ages to come, we might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. This morning I was in the kitchen and Nelda has this little sign sitting on the kitchen window that says, "Be kind." And I like that sign. It reminds me of what I'm supposed to be. And there was a fly on top of it. And I found the fly swatter and I thought, should I be kind to this fly? That's just a foolish thought, you know, that went through my mind. I'm not fond of flies. How about y'all? Y'all like house flies? They're amazing now, I'll tell you. How they can buzz around and they know when I go get the swatter. I don't know how they know that. They're smart. But I wouldn't have been kind to him, but he flew. But I want to tell you, God has been kind to me all the days of my life. Kindness. And now the apostle would say, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, for by grace, now here's one of my favorite texts, for by grace are ye saved. How many of y'all know what grace is? Grace, the simplest definition I know of grace is unmerited, undeserved favor. See, if you deserve it, it's not grace, it's a reward. But let me tell you, grace is free. We've got a song in our book. Grace is free. Grace is unmerited. It's not something you work for and deserve. Now, Paul would say, for by grace are ye saved. Not by your works, by grace are ye saved through faith. And I know our Armenian brethren will say, well now, Brother Sam, that's your part. You've got to have faith in God to go to heaven. I believe the text here is talking about God's faithfulness and his faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved, not through our faith. See, we don't even have faith until we're born again. So your faith can't play a role in your being born again because you don't even have faith until you're born again. This is God's faith in his Son. And let me tell you, God, Jesus promised his Son, I'll go to earth and I'll take on a body and I'll die for the elect family. Give my life for them. And God had faith that his Son would do it. What about y'all today? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift. Listen to this now. If y'all been asleep, I want you to wake up for a moment and hear this. It is the gift of God. Now, when somebody gives you a gift, do you say, how much do I owe you? If it's a gift, you don't owe them anything. All you need to do is say, thank you. Right? This suit I'm wearing this morning, Brother Vernon Mazzell over in Birmingham lost his wife and he was grieving, and I had visited with him and conducted the funeral, and he wanted to buy me a suit. And he took me to a nice store in Birmingham, and I tried on different suits, and he bought me this suit. You know what I said? I didn't say, now, Brother Vernon, what do I owe you? It was a gift. If he had said, Brother Sam, that's $10. It wouldn't have been a gift. He gave it to me. Unfortunately, I gained too much weight to wear it for a while, but it was a gift. Do y'all understand eternal life is a gift? For by grace are you saved through faith. It not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. See, beloved, it's an eternal life. Going to heaven, being there forever is a gift. I appreciated so much what Brother Stephen Dyer shared at Brother Smith's funeral the other day at Trail Branch. Brother Stephen had preached that Sunday morning on But We See Jesus. And during the sermon, Brother Smith leaned over to his cousin and said, I see Jesus. He saw him in the sermon. He saw him as Brother Stephen expounded the glory of God in creation. How many of y'all can see Jesus today? If you can't, I failed as a preacher because my job is to lift Jesus up. He was able to see Jesus in that sermon. He went home that night, fell, hit his head. The air flighted him to Macon. His son-in-law, who is a neurosurgeon, about noon Monday, said there's no brain activity. You know when he really saw Jesus? When his spirit left that body and went to glory. How many of y'all are with me this morning? And that was a gift to Brother Smith. Brother Smith was a good man. God had quickened him from death and life, death and sin to life in Christ. But he was a sinner just like you and I are. He went to heaven by grace and grace alone.
Amen.
And that's the only way you and I are going. And when we get there, it is going to be glorious, isn't it?
Amen.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I think I told you all yesterday that two of our granddaughters went with us to North Carolina last week where I was preaching, and they were good enough to count my closings in the sermons. And they came up after the first sermon and said, "Granddaddy, you had three closings today." Well, I hadn't had one yet, but I'm nearing the end. We've got a wonderful dinner waiting on us outside, but I'm trying to feed your souls, your minds with the Word of God. Now listen, let's look at this. He would say, not of works, lest any man should boast. There be no boasting in heaven, and there shouldn't be on this earth. You and I have nothing to boast about. We ought to be boasting in the Lord Jesus. Now, verse 10, for we are His workmanship. Listen to that. I look at people this morning in this church, and I love all of you, but I see in you God's workmanship. I see your body, and some of you are like me, you're getting old and, you know, wrinkled and all, but I see something else. I see God's workmanship in you. Do y'all ever think about it? The people that you're sitting next to right now in this house is God's workmanship. Think about that. God has worked in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I tell you, if God, listen, there's a lot of evil in our world, and it comes from the devil, the flesh, but there's a lot of good in this world. And watch our text. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And let me tell you, if God has quickened you, if He has made you alive and given you a new nature, He has done that unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of good work in this world today. A lot of goodness. And you know where that comes from? That comes from God dealing with us and giving us a good nature. This week, our car was stolen on Monday. Now, that was not a good thing. But Tuesday, a farmer out in the rural part of Blakely County saw it behind an old abandoned barn. Saw it at 5:30 in the morning. He was out there driving deer away from his sunflower patch. And he saw the car and he thought, probably somebody's sleeping in it. I'm not going to bother. But it was still there 4:30 in the afternoon. So he called the police or the sheriff. They came out and called me, and it was there unharmed. Now, that was a good thing. I called Mr. Steve Sapp. That's his name. And I thanked him for calling the sheriff. There's a lot of goodness in this world. And the next day, one of our neighbors, Nelda and I have got wonderful neighbors, and one of our neighbors, Miss Carolyn Kitchens, came down to our house and brought us a security light to go in our carport. It comes on by motion. She had bought it for herself at Ollie's down in Dublin, but she said, "Y'all may need it more than I do." I tell you, goodness is everywhere in the world, isn't it? Some years ago, I heard about a boy in Savannah, Georgia, who lost his mama and his daddy. And he was broken, and he was living with his aunt. And he said to his aunt, he said, "Aunt," he said, "there's just not enough smiles in the world. Seem like everybody's sad and cast down." He said, "I want to try to help people smile." He started buying little toys for children in Savannah, Georgia. And I don't know where he came up with this number, but he said, "I'd like to make 33,000 children smile." Can you believe that? And you know, he finally reached that goal, bought 33,000 little gifts to give to you. That's goodness, folks. That didn't come out of a dead sinner. That didn't come out of somebody that had never been quickened by God's grace. That's an evidence that God is still working in this world. I wish we had a good news broadcast 24 hours a day. Well, Brother Michael Goins has got one called Grace Alone. How many of y'all ever listened to that? Preaching and singing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you say, that's boring. You're lucky to get me in church 1 hour on Sunday morning. Well, I want to tell you, God's goodness is everywhere if you and I have eyes to see it. I could stand up here till the sun goes down if I had memory enough to tell you how good people like you have been. I could just start over here and go around this congregation and all the way to the back and point to people that have been good to me all the days of my life. I want to have eyes to see it. And I want to be able to say, thank you. What about y'all? And most of all, thank God that He has worked in us and given us a nature to where we just want to go about doing good. Jesus did. To me, the greatest commentary on the earthly life of Jesus is in Acts chapter 10, where Luke said, and Jesus just went about doing good. He saw somebody hungry, He fed them. In Birmingham, on three occasions, I was in restaurants and people, total strangers, paid for my food and drink. And I would try to thank them, you know, and they said, just pass it on. Just pass it on. Years ago, I went to Tennessee, a man up there who had probably 1,000 acres of shrubs and plants and trees of all kinds. And a deacon in one of our churches heard I'd built a house. He said, Brother Brian, if you can come up here in a pickup truck, he said, I'll give you everything you want around your house. I went up there. He gave me about $2,000 worth of plants. I borrowed Hezekiah's pickup. I wasn't used to a pickup. I certainly wasn't used to one loaded down. I gave out a gasoline just this side of Atlanta on Interstate 75. Worst place I know in Georgia to give out a gasoline. And it was sundown. And I was flat out of gasoline. And cars zooming by. And I got out and waved. And you know what? The first person that came by stopped. I bet y'all got stories like this. He said, can I help you? I said, I run out of gasoline. A dumb thing to do, right? Very dumb, dumb, dumb. That's dumbness on steroids. How many of y'all ever done dumb things? Dumb, dumb things. He said, well, I'll go get you some gasoline and bring it back. It took him about 40 minutes. In your mind, you start doubting. He just fooling me. He ain't coming back. But he did. And I tried to pay him. And he said, just pay it forward. Have y'all ever heard that term? I want to encourage all of us today to just leave here doing good things. Don't look for return. See, if you do something good expecting good back, that's not coming from God. Jesus said, if you fast to be seen of men, that's nothing in you. If you pray to be heard of men, if you give alms to be seen of men, that's worldliness. But if you do it secretly, quietly, humbly, oh my soul, amen. This world needs a lot more goodness. Would y'all agree with that? Georgia does. Twiggs County does. Blakely County does. I bet your home does. May God bless us, give us understanding today that we'll leave here wanting to do good. Because see, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God has enabled us to do good works. Thank you all for your wonderful attention.